The scripture today is from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 1 through 7 and 16 through 21. And this was written, it's part of the books of the law. It was written for the people of Israel as they were preparing to enter into the promised land. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his might, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will not yield produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk with them along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. And these are the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know, it's a little bit awkward to stand in this position. Why? Well, because as preacher, I'm supposed to focus on the holy things of God, worship, adoration, and lifting our hearts, and all of those kinds of things that really draw us into holiness. And then we come to Mother's Day in May and Father's Day in June. Generally, those 2 days of celebration for honoring mothers and fathers are not considered to be holy days. They took their beginning in a family kind of setting or community as local people chose a day to give honor to the men in their community. Same thing with Mother's Day. And over the years, that has been formalized by our government into specified days for that celebration on a nationwide basis. But that doesn't make them holy, except insofar as it is inside of you, by way of your faith, God's grace and mercy, and the Holy Spirit in you. Those are always holy. But my eyes were kind of opened as I came to this passage we have here in Deuteronomy today. We've had 2 scriptures. We're familiar, right, with this story of the prodigal son, how there was a wealthy father and the youngest of his sons came to him and basically told him, "You are as good as dead to me. Give me my inheritance." And in those days, the inheritance, because there were 2 brothers, would have been divided by 3. 2 parts of it were given to the older brother and 1 part was given to the younger brother. And that was done basically, I think, because the oldest person in the family, the oldest man in the family, might have to take care of younger siblings and perhaps even a widowed mother. So it was provided for in the inheritance laws. And the father, and I like the way the NIV puts it, not all of them do this way, the father divided all of his property between these two sons. Now, that basically meant that he was living off of the generosity of his oldest son, because his youngest son, he was as good as dead to him. He went away. And he took with him all of the wealth that he had gotten as inheritance from his father, who he thought as well as dead. And there's a really neat movie. If your kids haven't seen it, you should look it up. It's called The Blank Check. Okay, this became like The Blank Check. Are any of you familiar with that film? I think it might even be a Disney one. This son, like the boy in the movie The Blank Check, came into a windfall and went about spending that windfall. He spent, you know, some here and some there and some for this and some for that. And anything his eyes sat on that he thought he wanted, he went ahead and bought it. And it wasn't very long before all of the money was gone. That's the situation this youngest son found himself in. And because he didn't have anything to live on now, he had to get a job. But he was a Jew. And the worst thing, there are a couple of things, but one of the worst things a Jew might be asked to do is take care of the pigs. And there he was, taking care of the pigs in a foreign land. And it got so that he was so poor that he looked at the slop, the garbage that he was giving to the pigs, and he almost could have eaten that garbage. He was so hungry. And he finally realized, you know, here I am wishing I could eat the garbage that's being given to these pigs. But the lowest servant working in my father's household never has to worry about a roof over his head or clothes on his back or food to eat. I would be better off if I were working as the lowest servant of my father than I am now. So he comes up with a plan. He's going to go to his father, fall at his feet, and declare his sin. I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am not worthy to be your son. Well, he gets that part of it out when he gets back. But he's also planned to ask his father to hire him as a servant in his household so that he will have these bare necessities. Very humbly. So he sets off for home, and as he is coming down the road, his father sees him coming down the road and somehow recognizes him. It must have been the way he walked. And he runs out to meet him, and he throws his arm around him, and he bathes him in kisses and hugs, and he looks at him, and the son says what he says, but he doesn't even get to make that offer to work for his dad. His dad is already ordering that from the personal possessions that he has, a robe and a ring be brought and put upon this son. And he calls for a jubilee when all sin is forgiven and all wrongdoing is forgiven and all debts are paid. He calls for a jubilee for his son to welcome him back into his former position as the youngest son of the household. And he throws a feast for him. Now, sometimes when we hear this interpreted, you know, it's not unusual to kind of try to enter into the characters in this story. So we see the father, we see the younger son. We might wonder if the father is kind of overindulgent with his children. And the oldest son shows back up on the scene, and we have this sibling rivalry at least that's going on. Here's the father taking care of this youngest son who's already had his inheritance at the oldest son's expense, so to speak. He's not happy about it. But the father says we have to. We have to be glad and rejoice that this youngest son has returned to us. What a picture of the Father in heaven. Amen? Father in heaven who sent his one and only son, basically gave him to humankind. to do whatever we would do with his Son, God the Son. And he was crucified. And he was crucified in obedience to his Father's will in sending him to us. Sending him to us. Undeserving though we are. And Jesus then returned by the power of God. And everything that he had taught his tried to teach his disciples before he died. Everything that he had tried to get them to understand. He opened to them so that they would grasp what he was telling them. And then he ascended into heaven to wait until the Father says, "Okay, son, your work is complete. Go and collect your bride." Which is when Jesus will return again. "Go and collect your bride," the Father says. It's amazing. But I picked up on this passage from Deuteronomy, and it brought something new to me. It brought to me the fact that God is basically talking to parents of children here. He's saying to them, it was for you, you adults, you parents, you grown-ups, you fathers of children, it was for you and before your eyes that I did all these mighty works to gather you up, to free you from slavery in Egypt, to draw you into a promised land, a land of milk and honey, promised to your ancestors, to bring you to it. I cared for you even in your disobedience to me because I was there, I was ready to lead you into the promised land. I got you there and I was prepared. And you refused. I made sure that you had food to eat. I gave you bread from heaven. I brought you water from the rocks. When you got hungry for meat, for something besides this, what is it, manna from heaven? I gave you so much meat, you were wading through it up to your knees. I did that. When there was wartime, I protected you. When Balak and Balaam came against you, I was there and I protected you. I wouldn't even let that prophet curse you. They wanted to, I wouldn't let them. I cared for you. That was me. And you saw it. Your children didn't. Now you're going to come into this promised land and it has other people groups in it. And you're going to be told, well, Joshua did tell them that God said they were to destroy all the people that were already in the land so that they would not be pulled away from God. God says you're going to be vulnerable. It's possible that you might be pulled away from me. You need to remember, not only do you need to remember, you need to teach to your children what I have done for you. Because they were not there. You're to live in this. You're to remember it for yourself. And part of your remembering it for yourself, because it is your blessing, it is your protection, is to teach it to your children. Teach it to them. Live in it. Be thinking about it when you go to bed at night, when you get up in the morning. Talk to them in the family circles around the dinner table. Talk to them about it when you're walking down the road together. Teach it to your children so that they will know it too. Put it before them on a constant basis because it's the most important thing for you right now is to give that to your children so that you and your children this is what such a beautiful phrase, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Could you say it more strongly than that, how important this is? So, you know, we come to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. That's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says, you are my disciples. I've taught you and trained you to live in certain ways. Go now out into the world, teaching others about me and baptizing them as people who are going to live that way, and teaching them everything that I have taught you. And everything that Jesus taught them included. Guess what? The Great Commission. So on and on and on it goes, round and round and round it goes. This wonderful spin that we're in as people living on this earth in the world. For the sake of drawing people to God. And giving them the things of God. Now, to me, maybe you disagree with me. This work that requires the Holy Spirit to be present with us, whether it's moms or dads, okay? That requires the Holy Spirit, that's pretty holy work, isn't it? And therefore, it definitely deserves a day of mention and remembering and practicing honoring of mothers and fathers. It does. So I've talked to children twice today. You know, my message to children, and it's little children. I only had one there today. And older children, I had three there today. So my message to children was this. Because kids are exposed to this kind of thing all the time, not every mother or father is ready or prepared or able or strong enough or whatever, healthy enough to be a good mom or dad. So we go to the Ten Commandments. We have three commandments that basically tell us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then we have a fourth one, which is about what we are doing today. This day belongs to the Lord, and we are to remember that and keep it holy. And then there's a fifth one. We'll come back to that one. And then there are five more that are all about what it takes to be in good relationship with other people. About what you cannot do, should not do in your relationship and with other people. Everything from telling lies, giving a false report about someone, all of that, all the way to being envious of someone. And in between there's stealing, there's murder, and there's a couple of other things in there as well that have to do with stealing, basically. And the fifth one says, paraphrase, honor your father and mother. Yes? Now, for small children, this is basically translated is obey your mother and father. Now, if you're a good mother and father, I don't see anything wrong with that, because you are tasked with a job to care for, to protect, to nurture, to raise, to take care of that child. And if a child is disobeying you, it becomes two jobs, fighting the child so you can do what you need to do for that child. Obedience is very important. But we who are older are not released from that command. And the Bible tells us to honor our father and mother. To honor them. So how do you do that? It's not that hard to do that if you've had a good mother and father. I had no father regularly and consistently present in my life when I was growing up. I find it challenging. But even a child who has not had a good mother or father that grows to adulthood can honor their mother and father. And this is how it's done. This is what I was teaching the kids. And I had a mom there that doesn't often attend church. So this was testimony to her as well. You can, when you live in the way that God desires you to live, because it is for your best life, the one that God nurturing you as you follow me, as you follow Jesus. And in doing that, you cast honor upon that parent who perhaps was not fit. Because that other people, as they see you, as they witness the good life that you are living, other people will say, what great moms and dads those kids must have had. Great moms and dads. Because of that, because of who the child has become. One who honors. You know, there's a lot of talk in our world today, even in our church and spiritual world, about inclusion and universality. And as I thought about it today, you know, there is nothing more universal for us to think about and even to live by, to live in the land that God has promised us for many days, than honoring our mother and father. It's universal. Everyone has a mom. Everyone has a dad. Now we could get into some quibbling, you know, what about a baby that's put together in a lap? Well, there was still a mother and a father involved there, and by the Lord's will, they will be given parents that will be their parents on earth. They will be given a father and a mother. It is a universal principle. Universe. All people come into that. I'll tell you what a day it's been. Yesterday I spent time with music. And I remember I was a big fan of Mac Davis from shortly after the days when he was in a group called, I don't know if I can remember it, it'll come to me 20 minutes later, was in a group together with Kenny Rogers. This particular piece of music that Mac Davis sang was on the one and only album of Mac Davis music that I ever owned. And it's called something like In the Eyes of My People. And in it, he sings what comes off as a prayer. He says, Lord, I don't ask for anything else from this life except for my people to be proud of me. And he's talked earlier about the relationship that he wants to have with his wife and with his kids and with people that love him. Lord, I ask nothing else from this life except for the people who love me to be proud of me. You know, that's a great sentiment for a father. And my husband's favorite song is by Amy Grant. It's called My Father's Eyes. And she talks in the first part. Man, this always brings me to tears. She talks in the first part of it about being a little girl, maybe not her mom's favorite, but she hopes that she has her father's eyes. Eyes full of compassion. Eyes looking for the giftedness, for mercy, for grace, for the best of everything. My father's eyes. I just want to have my father's eyes. And then she goes into a scenario that is like the judgment day. And she says, as though she's talking to her friends, sings as though she's talking to friends. She sings, when that day comes and you are being asked to give testimony about me, these are the words I want to hear you say. I have my father's eyes. My father's eyes. Eyes full of compassion. Eyes always willing and ready to see what's wrong, to feel it just the same as another person, to do the best that can happen for that person, for me.
My father's son. My father's son. It's a big call. It's a holy calling to be a parent.
And how did Deuteronomy put it again? So that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Even an eternal promise, as it is given to us through the book of Deuteronomy. So praise the Lord. Rejoice and have an amazing day. Honor your fathers. And let your children honor you, those of you who have children. Remember those who have been parents. Be the people of God, and remember, there is always Father in heaven. That was the Father I came to know. Father Knows Best didn't do it. All the best dads on television didn't do it. The uncles that would occasionally visit didn't do it. But God did. And became my father in so many real ways. He's always a father. And when it gets to be too much for us, we are invited to lean on him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.